We will change subjects now and slide right into our weekly Vents Day segment. It's your weekly chance to take part in a conversation about an important topic in the news. You are the guest. This week's topic is sexual harassment. You take part by calling 800-838-3760 or by emailing jx@jeffnet.org.
I'm Emily Curitan, joining Jeffrey in the studio for this one. Sexual harassment, it's not a new thing, although it's only relatively recently against federal law. The Civil Rights Act of 1964 applies Title VII to any business with 15 or more employees. That act created the U.S. Equal Opportunity Commission, which enforces Title VII and deals with sexual harassment cases. The EEOC also deals with all kinds of discrimination nationwide: race, age, religion, disability, ethnicity. Just to give you some perspective here, the state of Texas alone, about 10% of EEOC cases for the entire nation for sex discrimination are coming out of Texas. For some comparison, charges like that in Oregon are very rare. Just 73 cases of sex discrimination were charged in 2014. That's 0.3% of the EEOC's national caseload. But the majority of people who responded to our Jefferson Exchange Facebook survey this week are women in Southern Oregon and Northern California who said that they had been sexually harassed at work or on the street. 86% of people who answered the survey actually said that. And then we also asked people, have you ever sexually harassed someone at work or in public? We specified that catcalling counts. And I know I'm actually guilty of that, Jeff. I've yelled at someone on the street largely out of spite because I know what it feels like. That is true for 29% of our survey respondents. They said yes, they were either guilty of sexual harassment or of harassing someone on the street. We want to hear from you now on this topic. Have you experienced it coming or going? Either way, your perspective is valued here on The Exchange. 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org.
A few people who checked in. Rose in Brookings said that catcalls and unwelcome advances were a constant experience for me, as well as for every woman I knew throughout my 20s, 30s, and 40s. We all frequently changed our routes to work, walking patterns, etc., in order to avoid the worst problems. And this is where men begin to start thinking about, gee, what are the things I might have done over the years that could be construed as sexual harassment? You'll be surprised, guys, when you start digging into your behavior over the years, that the things that really could fall into that category pretty easily.
And this week with the survey responses, I followed up by phone with a number of people, Jeff, and the women that I spoke with were also surprised when they dug through their memories and their work history of things that at the time they sort of brushed off or swept under the rug. And then once it sort of sunk in and they thought about it, they thought, hey, that really wasn't appropriate. And that really did make me uncomfortable. On the topic of street harassment, we got this from Christine in Oakland. And she said, a guy followed me for 3 blocks on my very public walk home from work. Christine describes finally yelling at the guy before he peels off on a block near her home. Then she says, this type of stuff happens far too often to be okay, and other people don't help, which is unfortunate.
So we're looking for your responses, your involvement in sexual harassment, and again, either on the receiving end or the transmitting end. We want to hear a story from you. And remember, we're just using first names here, so it's not like the whole community is going to know who you are. But 800-838-3760 to join us by phone. Our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Vents Day is all about you. Here's your chance to vent on sexual harassment, whether you've experienced it on the receiving end or whether you've been a person who perhaps delivered it and didn't realize until later that's what it was.
We are really seeing it as a continuum of sexual harassment, both a more formal legal definition and then stuff that happens at the store and on the street anytime someone thinks it's okay to make you uncomfortable, ogle or leer at you. Or maybe on the other end, you think you're giving someone a compliment and they freak out on you. We hear that a lot from guys on the sort of accusation end of sexual harassment. Let's hear from you today. It's Vents Day on the Jefferson Exchange, a very special occasion always, every week. 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org.
Eight 36 on the Jefferson Exchange on the News and Information Service of Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Jeffrey Riley.
I'm Emily Curitan, and it's Vents Day.
It is indeed. Your chance to vent your spleen politely on a topic in the news. This week's topic is sexual harassment. We get down to the point of asking, well, is that an issue again? No, it is still. and has been for a very long time. And that's the point, is that people seem to be recognizing more and more now that sexual harassment is a pervasive thing, has gone on for a very long time. We want to hear your experiences with it. We have lots of national stories that keep it in the news, but we want to hear about your experiences as well.
Yeah, and it's these high-profile cases that will be on the news. We heard through our survey this week from folks who are experiencing everyday situations of sexual harassment, many unreported, or if they were reported, they didn't achieve any kind of resolution or acknowledgement from their employer. That seemed to be the tone of many of our survey responses. You can join us live here on The Exchange with your story. 800-838-3760 to take up the phone. You can drop your comments off to our inbox at jx@jeffnet.org or check us out on Facebook. That survey is still up. We want to know about street harassment and sexual harassment and how it's affected you. Betsy in Bend responded to our online survey, and then Betsy agreed to be interviewed over the phone. She is one of several people I spoke to who said she was sexually harassed at work, in her case at an art gallery she joined as an artist. Betsy said it wasn't the first time in her life she's experienced sexual harassment, but it was the first time that she's decided to say something about it. Here's Betsy.
I'm older and stronger, and I wasn't depending on this for my income. So I might have swept it under the rug completely had I been dependent. But in this case, I decided to speak up about it with the people in charge of the gallery. They ignored it. They never responded specifically to what I was saying. No, we'll check into it. No, we're sorry that you had this experience or that you feel this way. Nothing other than a clandestine phone call from a fellow artist, woman artist there, who also told me that other women in the gallery had experienced the same thing I did but had not spoken up about it. The actual experience involved staring, leering, intimate, close, moving close and intimate, and touching my clothes. I didn't do anything. I was so shocked. I wish I had just like backed off and sworn at him, but I was new to the gallery and I was used to being polite. So I was polite and left, but I wished I hadn't been. I had really a couple of months where I was disturbed by it because it was so diminishing and degrading. And I was also angry because it meant I felt like I had to leave the gallery. There was no way I could continue to work with this man.
That's Betsy in Bend talking about her experience recently. We spoke yesterday afternoon over the phone after she answered the Jefferson Exchange online survey about sexual harassment. Betsy is among several people I spoke with who didn't want to spend her time and energy filling out a legal complaint against someone who was making her uncomfortable at work. She feared that it would drag on and on if she did that. And she said just talking about the experience with me had her feeling anxious and her stomach churning.
All right, so lots of people with lots of stories. We want to hear yours. This Vents Day is about you getting a chance to vent about sexual harassment. That's our topic this week. 800-838-3760 to join us by phone, by email. It's jx@jeffnet.org. We did institute a new voicemail box this week, so you can actually put your comments in advance. We didn't get it out there early enough to get any responses this week, but we'll make sure we give you that number as we start picking Vents Day topics for the next round. Right now, let's hear from Ayala on the North Coast in California. Welcome to The Exchange on Vents Day. Go ahead.
I'm calling because I'm concerned about certain nuances between men and women being lost in this rush to stamp out inappropriateness.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say that when I was in a difficult marriage, I would put on my skinny jeans and a tight leotard and go for a walk in front of a construction zone, and you'd get a really nice, playful exchange with the guys there. It was a fun game, and I'm so sorry that it's been taken to other extremes. Yesterday I heard a program where black guys were talking about the status of approaching other women on the street and not realizing the effect it was having on the women. It was just a guy thing, a one-upsmanship among guys.
Mm-hmm.
There's a number of aspects to this here, and I just really would be sorry to have the fun things that happen between men and women be suppressed. And I remember when feminism all of a sudden came on strong, French women were like, well, I was walking up to this building, and this guy brushed in front of me, and he slammed the door right in my face. Is this what American women want? So you see, there's all these peripheral aspects which I'm concerned are getting washed away.
Ayala, when you talk about the fun game at the construction site, though, I mean, is there anything that would have made it not fun? I mean, is there a line past which the comments would have been considered rude or just kind of gross?
No, it would have been more difficult if one of those guys had climbed down a ladder and come up and put an arm around my shoulder. That might have been a little harder to deal with. But just in a flirty kind of way, it was fun.
Okay. Thanks for that, Ayala. Appreciate it. Good to hear from you. Obviously, sexual harassment is not a new thing, nor does it ever seem to stay out of the news for long. One of the more notable recent cases involves sexual harassment charges against Roger Ailes, who was the chair at Fox News. He lost his job over the allegations, which continue to surface. And we wish we could say that the news business is generally above all this, but it's not. NPR recently talked to Betsy West, who was a radio producer at ABC News Radio starting in the 70s. She was thrilled one day at work to realize her coworkers were about to present her with a birthday cake.
And they're wheeling in this birthday cake, and everybody seems so happy. And as I got closer to the cake, I realized, oh, my God, it was in the shape of the male organ. Yeah. And it was just the most mortifying, embarrassing moment. I just didn't know what to do. And when I think back on it now, well, you know, why didn't you just say, hey, guys, this is kind of inappropriate. But at the time, you just sort of laughed it off and thought, okay, ha, 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 and let's move on with it. But I still kind of get a kind of creepy feeling when I think about that moment.
That's Betsy West, who worked in radio news for a long time. She did stay in the news business and now teaches at the Columbia University School of Journalism.
That's what a story there of the cake. Our last caller raised an interesting point for me, Jeffrey, thinking about what are our expectations of each other, you know, especially when it comes to something that can be as seemingly innocuous as commenting on someone's physical appearance or saying, hey, your hair looks nice today, or I like your new glasses, or something like that. And are we always on the same page at our workplace? We want to hear from you on this question. Does someone you work with talk about you or your colleagues or your customers in a way that makes you uncomfortable? Are you unclear on what the rules of engagement are now? Let's talk about it here on Vents Day, 800-838-3760 to join us, or jx@jeffnet.org. Our survey responses this week tended to come from people with less than subtle stories to share. A recurring theme from the survey seems to be women just leaving a job if they're experiencing sexual harassment there. Here's a response we got from Mary in Hilt. Mary said, I quit working because the manager was sexually harassing me and other female coworkers. He even had a system in place where all the male coworkers would comment on female customers' bodies and what they wanted to do to them over our headsets. I complained to the owners, but nothing happened. That comes from Mary in Hilt. And Mary, we hope you found a better work environment. Thanks for sharing that with us. And hope more people will join the conversation here on Vents Day about sexual harassment.
So it seems like there's a realm of behavior that is generally agreed, at least in this day and age, is not appropriate. Things you shouldn't be saying to people at work, things you shouldn't be saying to people you work with as customers, clients, whatever. But have we reached a point where we all agree on those things? Are there still some gray zones? We talked to Ayala a couple of minutes ago who said, you know, she didn't mind walking past a construction site and getting attention from men. A lot of women would not particularly like that in any way, shape, or form. What's your response? What are the things that have happened to you that make you think in terms of sexual harassment or think, oh, they're just being boys? You know, that often gets said. Peter in Humboldt County dropped off a comment a couple minutes ago. He said, it's all hormonal. Men are in heat all the time. Go to the DA if it's persistent. If it doesn't rise to the level of legal action, does it rise to the level of complaint to a boss? Or do you have a boss who wouldn't do anything with the complaint? We want to hear your story here on Vents Day. 800-838-3760 to talk about sexual harassment over the phone. Send your emails to jx@jeffnet.org.
That image of, you know, walking by the construction site, Jeff, that's something of a cliche. And I would say firsthand that street harassment, you know, it takes a lot more forms than that. Probably the unifying factor might be people assuming that it's okay to yell at you if they don't know you, people assuming that you should be complimented by their interest or sort of presumption to comment on your body very, very publicly. A lot of women that I talked to about this for the survey, they didn't react combatively. They say they don't turn around and yell at the guy like one of our early commenters said. They'll giggle. They'll blush. It kind of plays into this dynamic where you're not quite sure how to be polite and still make this stop happening. That problem presented itself for Ara in Ashland. We spoke yesterday afternoon. Ara described working at a place where they had a very much an if you don't like it, then leave mentality towards sexual harassment. Here's Ara.
So he would just harass me the entire time I was at work, and he would it was like flirting, but it was beyond flirting, and it was really just this constant barrage of hitting on me and sexual innuendos and sexual jokes. And I went finally and spoke with the owner of the store, told him that I was just really uncomfortable and that this man was making me really uncomfortable with the way he treated me, and gave him some examples. And he basically said, you know, that's just how it is. And if you don't like it, you can leave. And so I did. I left, and I didn't fight with him about it or do anything about it. I just didn't work for them anymore. Just the person I am today, it wouldn't be like that. If that kind of thing was happening, I would have handled it differently. I'm just more assertive today. I was just always polite and always quiet and giggly even, I'm sure, because I didn't know what else to do. I was uncomfortable, but I certainly never directly stood up to him.
I got some Ara and Ashlyn talking about an experience when she was much younger. She said that happened in her 20s in the Portland area. She's now in her 40s and lives in Ashland.
And it echoes what we heard from Betsy West and have heard from other people as well along the way, that at the time and in that place, it was like, oh, well, you know, you laugh it off or you just deal with it or you get out. A lot of this was brought up by the folks at Fox News who kept working there even though they felt like Roger Ailes was sexually harassing them because they had good gigs. It gets to an issue of power, and this is where Anita Hill comes in once again. Anita Hill, of course, really introduced a lot of men to the term sexual harassment. She's the lawyer who came forward to testify before Congress about the office behavior of Clarence Thomas when he was being considered for a spot on the Supreme Court. Hill is the subject of an HBO film out earlier this year called Confirmation. Kerry Washington played her on TV. The real Hill spoke to NPR not long ago about how hard it is to come forward about sexual harassment, especially when dealing with a powerful and popular person like Roger Ailes or Bill Cosby.
I think it makes clear that even though the men are more powerful, that even women who are perceived to have some power have trouble coming forward. But I also think that it makes people aware that how in these situations where there is extreme hierarchy and you have an individual who is well regarded on many levels, that it is very difficult for women to come forward because in many ways they don't have anyone to report to who can actually do anything about it, who can change the behavior of this powerful person.
So people who are in situations where they are held in great esteem, there's two things going on potentially. Number one, people aren't going to believe that they have done things like sexual harassment. Number two, nobody particularly wants to remove them because they're considered to be doing good jobs. So that's something Anita Hill spoke about. Remember, she spoke about this originally in 1991 about behavior she experienced years earlier. 25 years later, we're still having the same conversation about men abusing power in the workplace over women. What are your experiences with sexual harassment? That's what we want to get to on this Vents Day. Give us a call, 800-838-3760. Email is jx@jeffnet.org.
A lot of interesting responses to our survey this week, Jeff. An anonymous woman in Ashland wrote, I grew up with sexual harassment. I recall junior high, walking to the snack line and boys holding up pieces of paper with their rating of your attractiveness. I remember at one of my first jobs, I was 15 and a barista, I was called jailbait. I didn't even know what that meant. And catcalls forever. It happens even now and I'm 44. Anyway, this is just everyday stuff and it's harassment. That is from an anonymous woman in Ashland who didn't even want to use her name. She had a somewhat distinctive first name. But that, reading that, Jeff, actually conjured up a lot of stuff of, you know, when does this begin? We might start with dress codes in public schools, places where a young girl can be sent home because of her shorts or for not wearing a bra. But that same kind of scrutiny is arguably not applied to men's bodies. Are there still offices where women are instructed to wear skirts and pantyhose? I heard about one of those on As It Happens not too long ago, another show on this service. So do you work in a place like that? Is gender discrimination reinforced where you work? And if it is, then how is it so? Give us a call, 800-838-3760. On that point, I did want to share one more survey response here. We got this from Jamie in Grants Pass. Jamie works in a very male-dominated industry, the trucking industry. Jamie told us, "It was during my years as a truck driver in the late 1980s. I was harassed on a daily basis, told I was too sexy to be driving a truck, called a seat cover, whistled at, sexual hand gestures and slang thrown at me. I tried so hard to block those guys out, but they were everywhere. I put in 5 years of hard work driving flatbeds and double vans. Anytime I applied for a better driving job, I was told that they would never have a drive their trucks. Really? Perfect resume and license, but because I'm a woman, I'm not worthy? That's why I quit. Life isn't worth being treated like that. All my life, I've had sexual slurs thrown at me. I still hear men talk badly to women employees at some local businesses, and I cringe. I can't believe they still behave like that and get away with it because these women tell me they need the job, so they just ignore them. It's sad." So that comes from Jamie in Grants Pass, one of many people who answered our survey this week.
So blue-collar, labor-intensive jobs, but it happens in lots of other jobs as well. You might be tempted to think, for example, well, here's a place that might have less sexual harassment, higher education. All those smart people hanging around, it doesn't matter. Stories pop up in the news all the time about unwanted advances and harassment, including a world-renowned California Berkeley astronomer who resigned under fire last year. University administrators found that Jeffrey Marcy had violated multiple sexual harassment policies over a period of years. He denied some allegations but admitted making mistakes. Fellow scientists, women scientists, say in academia he's far from the only one.
Academia has a particular climate which allows sexual harassment, sexual assault, and sexual abuses to persist.
That's biologist and associate professor Katie Hine from Arizona State University. She talked to NPR a while ago. She's studied the issue in depth. She interviewed hundreds of women scientists and researchers. 70% of them reported sexual harassment during scientific fieldwork, often from teachers or mentors or other people with power over grades or careers.
Interesting. Let's take a call, Jeff. Let's go to Rika in Grants Pass.
Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day.
Good morning.
Hi.
I had a couple of incidents back in the mid-80s when I was working for Colvin Oil.
Uh-huh.
I worked in the office at first.
All right.
And I wore pretty dresses to the office, and guys would stop by my desk and, flirt with me. And I didn't mind that, but the older ladies in the office did, and I ended up getting fired from that job. So then I went and applied to work at their gas stations. And first day on the job, some guys went and, well, one guy grabbed me from behind, grabbed my elbows. He was sitting on the counter and said, "Oh, we got you now," and I just rammed my elbows down into his knees, and he yelled and let me go, and the guys laughed, and that was the end of that. They never tried anything again.
Wow. But so it really took a physical thing to respond.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They basically I was assaulted and had to assault him right back.
All right, Rika, thanks for sharing the story. Good to hear from you. This is Vents Day on the Jefferson Exchange.
Yeah, Rika's story, familiar in terms of people experiencing something and then having to have the burden on them to say, hey, nope, not okay, just ignoring the behavior, as we heard from many women in our survey. Here's another opinion pulled from our region. Bob in Coos Bay wrote a letter to the Coos Bay World that caught my attention in July. The newspaper ran Bob's letter at the end of last month. In it, he quotes the Bible, to make a point about Hillary Clinton's campaign for president. Bob paraphrases 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12. The New International Version of this verse says, "I do not permit a woman to teach or to assume authority over a man. She must be quiet." The King James Version is a bit wordier. "I suffer not a woman to teach, not to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence." So there's that. In his letter to the world, Bob concludes that men are just better at leading. So what do you think? How has sexism, sex discrimination, and gender politics played into this year's presidential election?
Let's take a call here. Nope, she, wait, okay. Let's talk about Vajra in Sunny Valley sent in an email saying, "A few women have talked about being too shocked to do anything but ignore or laugh it off. I relate to this and think it's all too common because as women, we try to be nice and polite. I wish we'd train our young women to speak out, not be polite and not be intimidated, to be prepared in advance." She said, "I got over being intimidated and embarrassed. On an air flight, a man pushed his foot behind my seat against my rear end. When it became clear this was intentional and not the occasional accident, I took off my seatbelt, turned around, kneeling on my chair, and said loudly for all to hear, 'Stop pushing your foot against my butt.' He looked stunned, as did a few others. Needless to say, he stopped, and it felt just great. Made up for all the times I didn't take bold, unapologetic action." Thanks to Vajra in Sunny Valley for that. Here's Sally in Arcata with the final thought on this Vents Day. Welcome, Sally.
Hi. Some environments just lend themselves to sexual harassment, and I think that some women are participatory for that reason. Maybe we need to kind of evaluate how we act. I work in the medical field and have for 40 years, and certainly hospitals, staffs, nurses, doctors, I don't know. Maybe it's just because there's a bunch of, you know, people half-clad or less in your area, you know, of expertise, but there's a fine line there between when it's just kind of on-the-job camaraderie or stress relief or whatever you want to call it, or and actually sexual harassment. And as I've aged, I've refined my participation in such behavior because I really don't think it adds to the quality of care or is necessary for letting off job-related stress.
All right, Sally and Arcata, thank you for sharing that. We are just about out of time for this week's Vents Day. A big thanks to everyone who answered our survey. Find us on Facebook so you can be included for next week's go-round. I'm Emily Curitan.
I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thanks for listening to Vents Day. Thanks for taking part. Another Vents Day in 1 week.